Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
They believe that every problem practically can be solved if you just had enough condoms. I call that ideology condomism.
God the Father is the large black African-American woman. The Holy Spirit is an Asian, and then Jesus plays himself.
Oh, this is such a blessing to see you, Mr. President. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Oh, gracious God, thank you so much.
All right, what's the question?
All right, Mr. President.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
We always like to hear from our listeners. We never tire of it. Whether it's criticism or compliments, it really doesn't make any difference. Part of what makes radio the great medium that it remains to be is the interaction between those who sit on this side of the mic and those who sit on that side of the mic. That's why we have the Issues Etc. comment line, a line open here at LPR Studios 24/7 for you to call anytime you want to with anything you want to say about the show. That's what we call it, the comment line. It can be criticism, it can be praise, it can be suggestions, it can be questions, it can be a follow-up, anything you want. The number, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. The first half hour of the program, Issues Etc., comment line. Then Brigitte Gabriel is going to join us. We'll talk with her about the protests in the aftermath of last week's presidential election in Iran. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon. It's the 19th of June. Our call-in number here in the studio, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, and our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. First comment today, a listener with his thoughts on what does Issues Etc. mean to you?
This is C. Gordon Larson of Southern Minnesota, wishing to express my thanksgiving for your programming and the staff of Issues Etc. I value the program of the issues because it equips me to keep an eye on the horizon for relevant issues that may affect the faith of God's people who have called me to be their pastor. As a rural pastor, I maintain that Issues has been and will continue to be my continuing education in Lutheran ministry. I am a pastor in the ELCA, and when I attended seminary, I sought the tutelage of sound Lutherans like Dr. James Vestigan, whom you've had on this program, and other like-minded teachers. I am one of many Orthodox and confessional Lutheran pastors who are called to serve God's people in congregations within the ELCA, in spite of the ELCA. I'm confident that you have some listeners whose opinions are that you cannot be Orthodox and confessional in the ELCA. However, maybe like Esther of the Old Testament, God has placed us here in exile for such a time as this. Todd, you recently used an analogy relating to the struggles within your Lutheran body of a firefighter who serves at the risk of his life to return over and over again into harm's way to save those he is called to protect. That analogy can be applied to us as well. While many of us would be very much at home in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have been called to shepherd faithfully Christ's sheep in this hostile environment. We will stand our ground until we either are relieved by God's good providences or kicked out by the ELCA. I urge you and your listeners to hold such pastors who are faithful to Christ, who even have their ministry in the ELCA, in your prayers. Faith, grace, word, and Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. Amen.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I'm humbled to hear the listener talk about our program in those terms, and we are happy to be whatever kind of a lifeline we can be to pastors, faithful pastors, who are struggling in the midst of, I would say, impossible circumstances, theologically, ecclesiastically. in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I mean, the circumstances in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are difficult, but they're not impossible. And yet for those who are struggling to be faithful to the Reformation in a church body like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, that is struggling in impossible circumstances. Our hearts and our prayers go out to you most definitely. Thank you very much for that comment. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. He's answering that question, what does issues, etc. mean to you? It's a question we want all of our listeners to answer. That's why we have the comment line open 24/7 to take all your comments, but also for your answer to that question, especially as we approach the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues, Etc. to the air. Call that number, 618-223-8384, the Issues, Etc. comment line, and give your answer to the question, what does Issues, Etc. mean to you? Next, a listener with a comment about the murder of George Tiller.
Hi. I was commenting about Dr. John Warwick Montgomery's discussion when it came to the defense of the unborn. I had a question. Not that I think that I've outwitted Dr. Montgomery. He's a far wiser man than I. But it seems the logic falls short a bit when he says that Romans 13, we are doing harm to that when we the man killed Dr. Tiller. And I don't know if I justify that this man should be killed by any means, but I'm struggling with the fifth commandment and the sin of omission. If one were to see a man lining up 10 young children on the street and start slaughtering them, where is the moral logic in not stopping the man and letting him go and say, well, we're only going to try and fix this by trying to change the government at that moment? Yeah, we maybe have retribution of the pastors being shot and churches being burnt down, but where is it that we are defending these young people in that site? It's a hard logic, and I really would like to know and find out how we could answer the sin of omission in when it comes to regards to the fifth commandment. And I'd like to be able to reconcile that myself. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Okay, first I'll deal with your analogy. The analogy is, what if you came across someone who's lining up toddlers in the street intending to kill them? Wouldn't you make every attempt to stop him and protect the toddlers? Well, the answer is, of course you would. Here's where the analogy fails when it comes to Tiller and abortion. Lining up toddlers and killing them in the street is illegal. There are laws against it. And there are all sorts of forces arrayed in society by way of police and law enforcement to prevent such things from happening. And how profoundly sad it is to realize immediately when you set those two circumstances side by side, because, of course, killing toddlers in the street is the moral equivalent of abortion. And abortion is the moral equivalent of killing toddlers in the street. Why is one illegal and the other isn't? It just simply demonstrates how profoundly unjust, how deeply immoral the legalization of abortion was in 1973 and still is today, 36 years later. But the analogy, just to be, not to be too technical, that the analogy does not fit the circumstance. Because killing toddlers in the street is illegal, abortion, although it is deeply frustrating and puts us in a morally untenable position, abortion is legal. And the forces of law enforcement are arrayed to protect a woman's right to choose. As wrong as that right is, they are arrayed that way. And that is why the solution to this is political and not vigilantism. Or taking the law such as it is. If I were to protect a toddler in the street who's going to be killed, I would be taking the law into my hands. When someone killed George Tiller, they weren't taking any law into their own hands. They were becoming a law unto themselves. Next, a comment about the current state of my church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Yes, my name is Mike Ames in Michigan, and I wonder if it would not be very helpful for you folks to run a series of programs addressing the issue of whether to stay in the LCMS and continue to try to reform it or to leave it, is becoming more and more of a question, a serious concern for many of us out here as we watch leadership drift further and further away from confessionalism and also putting in place structures that are not necessarily helpful, and in many cases harmful, and in some cases downright theologically heretical. And I think as many callers as possible that can contribute their views on this would be helpful. I know many of us here are definitely in that position. We're just at a point where we feel like we may have to, unfortunately, leave the Synod we love.
Okay, it is, I said before that the circumstance in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is impossible, theologically and ecclesiastically. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it's not impossible yet. I have thought this over very carefully, and I think the talk of leaving because things are difficult, because leadership, look, we need new leadership. It's that simple. It is time for new leadership in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Not only has the present leadership failed, but it's leading this church off in a direction that is distinctly un-Lutheran, out of the stream of the Reformation. Okay, we need new leadership. But lacking that, the answer isn't, I'm going to leave. The answer is, I'm going to stay and fight, and it may mean getting kicked out. That doesn't mean that we don't look for solutions. We don't look for better solutions than the ones that are put forward for us. But I think the talk of leaving is premature. I think what we do is we stay, we remain faithful. Now, why are you staying? If you're staying because I'm talking to pastors here. If you're staying because your health insurance and your retirement is tied up in a church body that you don't want to be a member of anymore, that's cowardice. If you're staying because you want to continue to faithfully shepherd sheep who need Jesus, that's being faithful. We'll be right back. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
From Japan to Oslo, Norway, here is Simon. Simon, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to vote for Benny Hinn. My reason for doing so is because, Jesus, the second Adam, ascended to heaven, so I guess there's some truth to it.
Thank you very much. Apparently, they have senses of humor in Norway. Thank you very much for listening in Norway.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does Issues Etc. mean to you? Later this month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8384. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand. We're listening to some of your comments this Friday afternoon on Issues Etc. for about another 10 minutes.
Then Brigitte Gabriel is going to be our guest. We'll be talking with her about the protests that followed last week's presidential elections in the Muslim nation in Iran. Who's really running the country? It sounds, after the election, like the mullahs are running the country. Brigitte likes to talk about the mullahs regime. We'll see what she means by that in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. It's Friday, June the 19th. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. I mentioned the comment line, the number for the comment line, 24/7. It always answers and will always take your comment, 1-618-223-8384. Here's a comment about the future of pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Yes, this is Christopher Greenwood. I attend a Lutheran church in Fraser, Michigan, and I'm wondering if the parent body, the leadership, is going to try to get rid of the conservative pastors through the certification process, that if they don't go along with what the church leadership wants, that they will lose their certification to be a Lutheran pastor. And I'm wondering if enough Missouri Synod pastors lose their certification, will they start a competing body?
Okay, it's a good question. First of all, we need to explain what the certification process is. In the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, a guy generally goes to seminary for 4 years, but that's not true anymore, actually. You could become a pastor much cheaper and much quicker through far less qualified means, but I'll leave that off to the side for a moment. It's a different conversation. If you went to seminary for 4 years, you finish up. The faculty, it used to be the faculty certified you for ordination. They said, this guy knows enough. He's of the right disposition. He's apt to teach. He meets the qualifications that Paul sets forth in the New Testament for a man to serve as a pastor. And then through various boards at the synodical level, a person was placed and certified to serve as a pastor in a congregation and then called by a congregation. That's the short end of it. Well, that process, one of the things about the proposed restructuring of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod being considered now and being pushed by the current leadership is the change in the certification process for pastors, wherein that's going to be taken out of the hands of seminary faculties, the men who actually instructed the pastors to be and know them best, and it's going to be put into the hands of bureaucrats, elected and otherwise. And he asks whether or not this will be a means by which faithful Lutheran pastors or men who want to be faithful Lutheran pastors can be culled from the prospective pool of pastors. I think that's already underway, formally and informally. And I can't imagine with the change in the process it's going to get any better. Now, he asked the second question, if enough of them are ripped of their certification, would they be able to form a different body? I can't answer that question. Well, here's a comment. Let's talk with Steven, calling from his car. I didn't even know he was there. I look over and there's Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Hey, two thoughts. First of all, I don't think as Christians – we should be just running off when things aren't going right to start a new church body. It's like, I think Luther was a good example of it. Remember, he didn't leave the Roman church. The Roman church left him. He was trying to reform it. And I think that's a good way to go.
I think it's good advice.
Yeah. I think, but now, the thing I like about Issues Etc. this week you had a Lutheran cantor and a evangelical agreeing on aspects of worship, which I find very interesting. We had that interview on with the gentleman who wrote the book about the problem with evangelicals. He made the comment about Willow Creek viewing their worship as a youth, almost like a youth meeting, and then comparing that. My thought was, we're turning into children's church, and how the cantor was talking about not removing children from worship to create children's church. And I could see how, by using demographics to drive your worship, you lose the authenticity of worship.
Steve, thank you very much. There is often a confluence, unintentional, between the guests and the topics that we discuss here. First of all, he's talking about Warren Cole Smith, author of A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church, and then cantor Philip Magnus was with us to talk about children in church a little earlier in the week. Now, to his first comment, regarding we don't go off forming new church bodies when things get difficult. Frustration isn't a reason to leave a church body. If it were, I would have left this church body and then probably 100 others in the last 18 years that I've been a pastor. Frustration isn't a reason to break up a marriage. It isn't a reason to leave a family. It isn't a reason to leave a job. If I would have done that, I would have left my old job probably day three. The frustration level got so bad. Frustration isn't a reason to leave anything. Fellowship should be very difficult to form. Christians don't form fellowship with one another easily, but it should be even more difficult to break. And what you're talking about when you talk about leaving a denomination is breaking formal fellowship. And that should not be done lightly or simply because we're frustrated. We have to sit down, look at the actual issues where we agree, and then ask with clear-eyed sobriety, do we have fellowship? Are we still in fellowship? And if we aren't, then let's just be honest and admit it. Now, the question is, who leaves? Well, with the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, that's going to be a thorny issue because whoever stays is going to inherit a lot of debt and difficulty and, quite frankly, a big mess. That's why I say stay, remain faithful, continue to fight. Here's a comment from a listener in Michigan about the service of women in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod.
Hi, guys. This is Dave and Troy, one of your on-demand listeners. And I was listening to one of the episodes where you encourage your listeners to call into the comment line with questions or comments. I actually have a comment. We have a debate going on in our Lutheran church in the area about what's the appropriate role for women to play in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I was wondering if you had any ideas, suggestions, and maybe a future show topic that would deal with this. In particular, not so much the issue of women being pastors, but the role of women as being either elders or as congregation president or chairman. Thanks for your time, and God's peace to you.
And I think the terms there would be elderesses and chairwomen. I mean, if women are going to be chairmen, they're women who are chairmen are called chairwomen. We try to avoid the chairperson, which just sounds odd altogether. Well, there was a decision taken by a convention of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod with regard to the woman's quote-unquote role in the church. We should be talking service, not role. Women's service in the church, and the decision was made to allow women to be congregational presidents and elders and other offices there. Without a lot of careful consideration of what that really means, I think it will prove to be historically one of the worst decisions the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has made. It will take some time, but I think it will prove to be one of the worst decisions with the worst fallout. That's all the time I got for that. Time for one more comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Jay of Osceola, Iowa. What does Issues Etc. mean to me? Education, edification, and encouragement.
Hey, that's nice. When I say smartest listeners in radio, also, they can put it in a nutshell, can't they? Thank you very, very much. That should go in an open, if you ask me. That's almost as good as white collar, blue collar, clerical collar. Thank you very much. Well, what does Issues Etc. mean to you? We want to hear from you. Our comment line is open 24/7, 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. Criticisms, questions, suggestions, compliments. We like it all. We play it all on the air. It doesn't make much difference, but we want to know what Issues Etc. means to you. 618-223-8384. All of this in light of the fact that coming up in less than 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc.'s return to the air. That's Tuesday, June the 30th. It's an open house and then a dinner. Very informal. Think church picnic or even dressed down a little from a church picnic. The open house starts here at 4 o'clock at LPR Studios in Collinsville, Illinois, and then the dinner just a little ways away here in Collinsville. For everybody who comes, it's free, and we're inviting all of our listeners to attend Tuesday, June the 30th, beginning at 4 o'clock here at LPR Studios, and then the dinner around 6 o'clock or so, a little ways from here. All you need to do is RSVP, Craig, at issuesetc.org. craig@issuesetc.org. We're looking forward to everybody being there. We've had a lot of people RSVP. We've got a big room, plenty of room for people, plenty of food. You don't have to worry about how to dress, whether you can stay for the whole time. If you want to show up a little late and or leave a little late, that's fine too. We just want to see you and help and hope you're with us to celebrate the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc. is returned to the air Tuesday, June the 30th, beginning at 4 o'clock here at LPR Studios. A dinner will follow. Craig@issuesetc.org. Tell us who you are, where you're coming from, and how many people you're bringing with you. Craig@issuesetc.org. Monday on Issues Etc., we'll be talking with Dr. Paul Vitz of New York University. We have fatherhood and atheism. In the next half hour of the program, Brigitte Gabriel is going to be our guest. We'll talk with her about the elections in Iran. Were they really elections? I mean, how do you count that many votes in that little amount of time? And then just this morning, we had the supreme leader himself, the Ayatollah Khamenei. He was standing there at Tehran University during morning prayers, making his speech, saying it was a perfectly legitimate election. Ahmadinejad won, will of God, and by the way, stop protesting. We'll see what Brigitte has to say about that on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. By the way, thanks to everybody who commented on the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll be right back.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The flying machine. Now, who invented it?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book, How Could a Loving God?
I enjoy visiting the Air and Space Museum in Dayton, Ohio. They have a fantastic array of flying machines. There's even a replica of the Wright Brothers plane that began the whole airplane industry. This museum gives great honor to the men and women who designed and invented these machines. But as I stood there gazing at these great planes, marveling at man's ingenuity, you know what really hit me? The greatest honor and glory shouldn't go to people like the Wright brothers, even though they were geniuses and Christians. It should go to the one who invented flying machines in the first place. You know, the first flying things ever invented flew perfectly, with no need of any modification, and they flew the very first time. Are you confused? Well, the answer is found in the book of Genesis. The Creator God made the first flying things, birds, mammals, and even some reptiles that could fly. What man has done is simply copy what the Creator already invented. How much more should we give honor and glory to the original inventor, Jesus Christ?
Ken Ham honors God's Word in a new CD he's releasing, containing 45 of his faith-building radio programs. Today's the last day we're offering this special edition CD. If you give a gift of any amount today, we'll send Ken's CD to you. To get it, call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS or on the web at answersoffer.org.
Here are some features of the Lutheran Study Bible. Almost 27,000 uniquely Lutheran study notes, more than 2,000 application notes and prayers for every part of the Bible, 120 full or half-page maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll even find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.